Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the show, Gab Marcotti here to reflect on Juventus booking a place in the Coppa Italia final. Plus, Ali joins us to talk about Real Madrid closing the gap on Atleti at the top of La Liga. But for now, Craig Burley here in the studio. Frank Leboeuf and Shaka Hislop also join us as we kick things off with an FA Cup tie for the ages. Manchester United beating West Ham by 1-0. McTominay scoring in extra time in what was an instantly forgettable match. Craig?
Where do you want me to start?
We don't have to spend too much time on this.
All right, it was flat as a pancake. But the only thing I can say here is it was so flat, but United got the job done. But he had to go to his bench. Which he didn't want to do.
Right.
Because they're now chasing Man City with this 5-point gap and their game in hand. And he wanted to give proper rest to Cavani, to Fernandes, to Shaw and to others. And he had to go to his bench because the fringe players were so poor. Van de Beek, again, non-existent. Telles, the left-back, Shaw's got no worries. So that was the only downside for Solskjaer. But in terms of the actual performance, I don't think Man United fans would be upset if I said it just wasn't a very good performance again. I mean, you think about the amount of possession they had. You think about Man City with that possession, how they shift it around and they move teams. We're just not seeing that from United. And again, they have to go to Fernandes and bring the subs on to get the game done. But they've won and they're in the quarter-final. And at the end of the day, that was what they wanted to do at the outset. Just with a bit more sparkle and guile.
Frank, did you enjoy this game?
Well, there's nothing much to say, you know. No, that was terrible. That was terrible, and I'm more critical towards the Hammers because Shaka Hislop, former club, didn't show anything. Did you know, they went to Old Trafford to maybe wait for the penalty shoots, and that's it. And I didn't see anything else coming from them, and I was very disappointed with that team, with fifth in the league. And they go out of the competition without trying anything. So maybe they couldn't. Maybe they didn't have the confidence to try something. But there is nothing much to say about Manchester United. They should have scored maybe before the 90 minutes for us not to be forced to see 30 minutes on top of that. But otherwise, you know, they did the job. As Craig said, you know, they mostly did the job, even if, yes, a little bit of more sparkle would have been very nice from them for us to enjoy the game. But that's it.
Shaka, what would you like to add?
Not an awful lot. Listen, if you're a West Ham fan, you're looking at this, you kind of remember what happened in the league game when West Ham could have been 2 or 3 up by halftime, but Bruno Fernandes came on and changed it. And as a result, maybe that's why West Ham were as negative as they were, hoping for a goal from a set piece. I think that's a terrible approach to any kind of football game. For Manchester United, you're through to the next round, but again, you see, without Cavani on the park, no real threat from wide areas and crossing the ball in. Without Bruno Fernandes on the park, no creativity through the middle. For a team that's sitting second in the Premier League, hoping to eclipse a team like Manchester City, that's kind of a scathing indictment as to how limited you are otherwise.
They've got no strikers, have they, West Ham? I mean, they sold Halle to Holland.
That's right, we don't have to talk about it anymore.
And no Michael Antonio. And Jesse Lingard can't play. So, you know, when you play Yarmolenko up front, then, and you lose Agbona, who's been their best defender, arguably one of the best defenders so soon, you're not really going to get much from them going forward.
No.
So that's what we expected from them. You're not interested in West Ham?
No.
So what, have you got something better for me?
I'm going to talk about the fact now that Manchester United, according to the bookies, are second favourites behind Manchester City as Liverpool continue to slip. Liverpool now 25-1 to retain the title. And the reason I wanted to bring that up was it's the first time that you've been on, Craig, since Jurgen Klopp had that... I'm not even sure how you would describe it. Kind of attacked the journalists after the game. It was something you tweeted about and you said it was embarrassing. I heard you talking about the commentary again today.
Yeah, I think this guy has had more than enough plaudits and has deserved them, Jurgen Klopp. But quite frankly, I think his rhetoric and his behaviour this season has been disgusting. I mean, embarrassing, condescending. Look, I get it. I understand. It's not easy when you come out as a player or as a manager after a game, particularly a manager, when you're not playing well and when you've just been smashed by your biggest rivals for the last 3 years. I get that, it's not easy. And you've got to go and talk to the written press. And you've got to go and talk to the domestic TV and radio. Then you've got to do the foreign broadcasters. But guess what? Guess what? The reason you're able to bring in the Virgil van Dijks and the Alissons, and the reason you're in such a big salary, is because these people pile the money in. Domestic broadcasters and global broadcasters pile the money in so you can get paid the way you get paid, and so you can go and bring in big money players and enjoy elite level football. It's not too much to ask to go along and give somebody who's probably getting a minute, 60 seconds, two questions, and he made that clear, Jurgen Klopp. Oh, and I get it. You can be irky and you can be tetchy and you can keep your answers short, but you don't have to go along there and be condescending and rude, telling the guy, ah, oh, you're not even prepped for your job. It's 13 points. No, it's not. It's 10. And then he spends the next 30 seconds or 20 seconds saying, well, you had your second question already and you had two. It's condescending and it's rude and it's not too much to ask. If he doesn't want, if he wants to give short answers,
right,
give short answers. But he's no better than the man at the bottom of the league that he has to go and talk to the broadcasters and fulfil his media duties, because these people pay the money that helps pay his wages and helps pay transfer fees and salaries. So why would he treat him any different or her any different to any other person? I thought it was rotten. And I tell you what, I think we're seeing this guy now in his true light. The mask has slipped because he doesn't need to do it, Dan. He's got enough money in the bank, and I don't mean in financial terms. I mean in terms of the results he's got.
Right.
Everybody knows Van Dijk's not fit. Everybody knows Matip and Gomez is not fit. Everyone knows that's difficult. Right. Nobody's expecting him to win 20 games in a row with all these players out. No one. But maybe we can expect a bit of common decency when you're talking to reporters. And that's what that was lacking. Common decency.
Shaka, what do you think?
Listen, so much of this kind of reminds me of that 95-96 season where Kevin Keegan kind of lost his cool, albeit in a very different manner, in front of the television cameras. And we were talking about that extensively just not so long ago. And why I say it reminds me of that incident is because Jurgen Klopp, exactly like Kevin Keegan, normally so cool, calm, and composed with the press. They knew how to handle the press, happy to laugh and have a joke with them. And then all of a sudden, when the pressure really got turned up, things just seemed to flip. And that's what I'm seeing here with Jurgen Klopp, and albeit, again, a different circumstance, which makes it all the more surprising. With Kevin Keegan in 96, we were chasing what would have been our first Premier League title. Jurgen Klopp, as Craig put it, has capital in the bank. They're less than a season removed from being Premier League champions. They're just over a season away from being European champions. Now that you've got an injury crisis, which everybody can see and we know the reasons for, I don't see how Jurgen Klopp turns it in the manner that he does. The other side to that is, and this is what we experienced back in 96, if Klopp has this attitude in front of the cameras with journalists, you know it's also telling on the training park and it's affecting that dressing room, which is a huge concern because albeit the title might be well away from them, but they're still in a race for the top four and that dressing room has to remain focused on that and don't let that added pressure distract from what right now is their ultimate prize.
Frank?
Well, I want to go on the other side, you know. What was the meaning of that question from the journalist and where he wanted to go?
It was a straightforward question, wasn't it? Are you still in the title race?
Yes.
I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think it was niggly. I didn't think he was looking for a fight. It was a question that Klopp could quite easily have straight batted.
No, it's a lose-lose situation for Klopp in that matter, in that question. Because he says, he started with, you have 10 points behind City, they have one game in hand. Do you think you can catch them up? it would have been stupid from Klopp to say, yes, we're going to give our best to catch them up. Everybody would say, well, that guy is insane. He lost his mind. There's no way he can catch them up. On the other side, if he says, maybe he should have said it in another way, but as Craig said, you know, when you go out from the game and you are quite upset with what you saw on the field, you have an answer where you say, why are you asking that question? You want the headline, you know, of course it's over. And they have to say in front of the TV that it's over. But I don't know if Klopp was condescending, but I think the question was stupid enough to make me think that he shouldn't have asked that question. I remember after a game, a journalist asking me, are you disappointing losing a game? I looked at him and I say, what kind of question is that? You know, of course I'm disappointed. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? You want me to tell you, no, I'm happy. I wanted to lose. And we, all the teammates, we said, we're going to play so badly. Like that, we're going to be sure to lose. So what kind of question is that? For me, it's the same kind of thing. Everybody has to do a little bit of work, you know. And of course, we saw Klopp being very, very upset about everything. And it's not the way he should have done, you know, the communication with the press. But I think that question
right.
from the journalist is awkward in a way that it's a lose-lose answer that you're going to give.
Frank, let's clear this up. Before the reporter even asked a question, the reporter stated a fact that they were 10 points behind. Before he even, which is factual, which Klopp got wrong, by the way, whilst he was been condescending to the reporter about prepping his job. So before the reporter had even asked a question, he stated fact. Klopp proceeded then to treat this individual like he was a piece of dirt on the sole of his shoe before he even asked a question. So, you know, he was off and running at the races, going down the wrong direction before a question was even asked. And I think it's a relevant question to ask. You know, you're now 10 points behind with, they've got a game in hand. Is it over? And it's a simple question, because you can say, well, we're never going to give up and we'll fight to the end. Or you can say, well, we're not, City are too good. We're probably not going to catch them, but we will give it our all, even with the injuries. That's Daniel, not difficult. Mm. But he had it in his mind. Let's look at the tape. Let's look at a tale of the tape here. Broadcasters at fault for scheduling games. Premier League at fault for scheduling games. Substitutes was an issue because he wanted five. Had an issue with Chris Wilder and others because they went in a different, wanted a different direction. The stupid comment with COVID leading up to this Man City game, which Guardiola himself and anybody who could check the stats, even I could do that, as you know, last week and see it was nonsense. All these things have culminated in a manager who has built up his legacy so high in the last couple of years. Not his team. He himself is doing his very best to completely smash the boxes away from underneath his feet. Not his team. People can accept his team's performance, apart from a couple of people that go on phone-ins in the UK and say Jurgen Klopp should be sacked. These idiots should not get airtime. But Jurgen Klopp himself is doing more than any of his team's performances to demean his job at Liverpool in his last couple of years by showing himself to be a sorry loser in these circumstances.
Go on, Shaq.
The thing for me is, this is not about the question or the validity of the question. It's about Jurgen Klopp's reaction.
Yes.
And we've seen Jurgen Klopp over the last 4 or 5 years since his arrival in English football, up front and centre. We know about Jurgen Klopp and we've seen him in the Bundesliga and how he handles the media. This is such a departure from the Jurgen Klopp we've known going way back to his Dortmund days. This is such a departure from everything we've seen over the last couple of seasons while involved with Liverpool. And that, for me, is the most telling thing. As there have been numerous complaints from fans of other clubs, from other managers, that the media are too softly with Jurgen Klopp and give him an easy ride and don't hold him to task, especially immediately after he took over the job from Brendan Rodgers and Liverpool finished, eighth, and then a couple of fourth place finishes. But the accusation then was the media are giving Jurgen Klopp an easy ride. And he's delivered on those promises. Now, all of a sudden, on the back of what seems like a slightly disappointing season. They may still finish fourth, but they're not going to win the league. That maybe constitutes disappointment. You're seeing a side of Jurgen Klopp that nobody recognizes, nobody anticipates. And that, for me, is the most troubling aspect to this all.
Go on, Frank.
I agree with the guys in the fact that for a while now, Klopp has a bad communication and is wrong all the way around, all the way along, sorry. But again, when Xhaka would say the question, it's not a matter of the question. Yeah, it is. Because as soon as the guy starts, you know, with the statistics, with the points and everything, they say you have 10 points, and he starts, you know, yelling at him because he knows the question and the way the guy is going to ask the question. The thing is, if the journalists say, okay, Mr. Klopp, what is your goal for the rest of... Hold on a second. Let me finish.
Okay.
If the journalist says, what is your goal for the rest of the season? What are your goals for the rest of the season? That's a simple question. And there is no meaning of kind of teasing also Jurgen Klopp. Because when you put the points ahead and on in front of his face, and when you ask the question, you know that you're going to get him.
Good.
You know that he's going to react badly.
That's what you want.
Listen. There's no doubt this is 100...
No.
There's no doubt, sorry, Chet. There's no doubt this is 100% on Jurgen Klopp here. Right? No doubt. And I don't feel sorry for reporters in general because, you've got to do a job and sometimes you got people bite back. And that's fine. This was just talking to somebody as if they shouldn't even been within a mile of the ground, right? It's condescending. Let's look at the bigger story here, right, and why this might be coming along and what might be pushing it. We know they've had the issue in the centre-back position. We know they've brought two younger players, less experienced players in. We know Klopp wanted a centre-back, but here's the deal. And he maybe felt let down by the owners.
Yeah.
All right. But here's the deal. There's a pandemic that has altered budgets, right? Liverpool have a choice to make. Do we go out, splash on more centre-halves, big money centre-halves, when next year we're going to have Matip and Gomez and Van Dijk back, right? Can we afford to do that? Or is he going to have to work with what he's got in the meantime? Now, he might be frustrated with that, but that's the scenario that they're in. It's a bit like, and it's not quite the same scenario, is Guardiola going up, going to his bones and throwing his rattling all his toys out the pram, saying, get me a striker. Aguero's been out, get me a... No, you're going to have to deal with it. And I know the problems at Liverpool have been greater, but he has not dealt with the scenarios well enough. And I think that's pushed him over the edge. That's not an excuse, because I think his interview at the weekend was awful. And I think it looked absolutely awful on him. And quite frankly, I think he should apologise. Maybe he has to the individual. But I think he needs to take a good look at how he talks to certain members of the media when things go against him. Because he doesn't come over well. I'm telling you that.
You've got to be nice to us reporters.
You're not a reporter. I don't know what you are.
More from the boys on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel, where they'll be answering your questions.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
In Italy, Juventus through to the Coppa Italia final. The damage done in the first leg, wasn't it? Remember, they beat Inter 2-1 in Milan. It was goalless in Turin on Tuesday, meaning that Cristiano Ronaldo's two goals proving key to see Pirlo's side through to the final. Gab Marcotti with us. Gab, Inter huffed and puffed, but in the end, just not clinical enough in front of goal.
They did. They had a lot of possession. I don't think they did enough with that possession, despite the fact that Conte did something you know, which we haven't seen him do in a long time. Hey, look, let's put Christian Eriksen into the midfield so we can have another passer. But Pirlo also, and I think this is quite interesting, also throwing a new look Inter's way. Bentancur was in midfield, but he'd often drop effectively between the center backs, Demiral and De Ligt. So a lot of times it was as if you were playing a back three guys, two of whom at least are outstanding passers. Demiral not bad either. And in so doing, I thought that, you know, they managed to keep Inter at bay, control the pace of the game, certainly in the first half. And I think over the two legs, Juve deservedly through to the final, although I think Inter will be ruining all those chances they missed at the San Siro.
Let's take Juventus' perspective on this. You obviously keep telling me this is a season out of transition for the defending league champions, Gab. Coppa Italia win, a high finish in the league and a good run in the Champions League. Does that tick enough boxes?
Look, there's a big portion of Juve fans who only talk about results, who really buy into that the thing that their former president Gianpiero Bonipetti ripped off from Lombardi about how winning isn't everything. It's the only thing that matters. So if they can do something like that, those guys will be happy. I think the current Juve executives, led by Andrea Agnelli, view things a little bit different. They do buy into this transition season, and they want to see the team younger. They want to see the team more attacking. They want to see the team dominating matches and you know, not just using the formula, which by the way, worked for them exceptionally well for a long time. And I think that's what they're going to judge the team on. But obviously, yeah, if you can win silverware, then that's a big bonus and very, very important. Also because it buys Pirlo credibility, again, with that portion of the Juve fan base.
Gab, a word on Ronaldo. History will tell us once again it's his goals that make the difference for Juve, the reason they advance to the final. Where do they stand on how long he will be at the club?
Well, as you know, Dan, Ronaldo has 1 year left after this one. There will be some really, really big decisions to make going forward because, you know, you start getting into what he's doing is nearly supernatural given that he's now 36 years old. Mm. So if you're talking about a new deal beyond next season, you know, you can't pay for what he's already achieved. You have to pay for what you think he's going to achieve at age 37, 38, 39. And that is a really big question mark. And that's also juxtaposed against, of course, the global pandemic, the closed stadiums. Juve have been hit very hard by that, more so than other clubs because they made a lot of money off their stadium. So I think all these things come together, and then you got to throw in, what does Cristiano want to do? You know, I don't think he sees the end of his career just yet, but having played in Lisbon, having played in Manchester, having played at Real Madrid, of course, having played at Juventus, does he want to give it a go somewhere else? I think that could come into it. Certainly my understanding is that between the club and Cristiano, nobody is in a rush to commit. I think they want to keep options open. What's not in doubt is that he feels very much a part of the team, a part of the club. He enjoys his time there. And obviously, he's been and continues to be exceptionally prolific and exceptionally important to this team.
From an Inter perspective, Gab, out of Europe, of course, out now of the Cup, it's all or nothing, isn't it, regarding the league?
Or at least we won't be hearing those excuses about those busy midweeks anymore. Look, I think Conte wouldn't like me saying this, but the reality, people look at his team, his players, his fixture list, and they look at Milan and, you know, Juve behind them, and they say, hey, it's yours to win. It's yours to win after 11 seasons, right? 2010, the treble with Jose Mourinho, the last time Inter won the title in Serie A. I think Conte knows this. Conte knows that how important it is to win the title, how important it would be to Inter supporters. He doesn't shy away from pressure. I think he thrives on pressure, actually. You know, the question is, will it get to their players? Can the players stay fit? But I don't see that there's any hiding. If they don't win the title this year, they'd better come very, very close.
Gab, thank you very much. A lot more from Gab, of course. You can catch him twice a week on the Gab and Jules podcast. The latest one is available to download now. Mark Ogden, their special guest. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match.
with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Real Madrid closed the gap on Atleti to 5 points at the top of the table after a 2-0 victory over Getafe. A French feel to the goal scoring for Mendy and Karim Benzema, getting the two goals in the space of 6 minutes in the second half. Let's welcome Alejandro Moreno to the show as we just take a look and confirm the fact that Real Madrid are 5 points off Atleti, though, with two games in hand. Ali, I just feel this could be any Real Madrid win throughout the whole season.
Yeah, let's put it into context a little bit and what Getafe is this season. We just talked about Luis Suarez yesterday and how he's leading the league with 16 goals scored. Getafe, all of Getafe, everybody in Getafe, include every single name in that roster, they have scored a grand total of 17 goals. Luis Suarez, 16, yep. Getafe, 17. Well, that's bottom of the league. So it's not a team that is really going to threaten you, right? It's not a team that is going to create a bunch of chances. It's not a team that is going to test you defensively. Having said that, the director here for TV showed us and panned to the stands many a times to see who's sitting there from Real Madrid. And it was a full squad of players that are sitting out for Real Madrid right now, injuries and what have you. And so the choices are limited for Zinedine Zidane. So you look at this Real Madrid and you look at the names that are involved on the field and who's getting an opportunity to play who wouldn't otherwise, well, you take a 2-0 drama-less win against Getafe. Look at the second goal. The second goal and the three names that are involved in that particular goal. Ferland Mendy starts the playoff, plays it off to Sergio Arribas, who then finds Marcelo on an overlapping run, and then Ferland Mendy is the one who finishes. Those names wouldn't be getting together if Real Madrid didn't have a whole lot of injury issues. So for Zinedine Zidane, you take this, it's 3 points, you put a little bit of pressure on Atletico Madrid, you're hanging on, and if you're a very optimistic Real Madrid fan, you'd be saying to yourself, you know what? We have a little bit of a chance here. A little bit of a chance. I'm not nearly as optimistic, but if you're Real Madrid, you've done your job. You've kept up with Atletico Madrid and you've closed the gap a little bit and just perhaps give yourself something to believe in.
I suppose the only other thing from Real Madrid interest is Marvin Park giving the start today. What did you make of the youngster?
We're really grasping.
I got nothing. I've got nothing. You were 2-0 in the rain against a rubbishy old Getafe team. Benzema scores, Mendy scores. This youngster's plays. We talk about him. What else are you going to talk about?
Well, yeah, look, and again, just the same as Sergio Rivas coming on the field and having an impact in the game, if you will, Marvin Park was given a role today. And it was a decision made by Zinedine Zidane when you consider some of the names that are still available to Zidane.
Yeah.
Isco nowhere to be found.
One, yeah.
Only came in for the last 10 minutes of the game. And so I think Zidane made some decisions today that were interesting. In fact, the formation that Zidane utilized, it was sort of a hybrid formation. Defensively, a back three that became sort of a back five. But offensively, Marcelo, instead of being a wing back that is coming back and forth, because we know Marcelo, once he gets forward, he's not coming back. Actually, he tucked him in a more central position towards the middle of midfield, sort of a connector through the midfield. There were some changes and some nuances to what Zidane tried to do today, given the absences, and it worked. Real Madrid were better than Getafe. They won the game. They got 3 points. We move on.
My producer wants me to ask you if Real Madrid can win the league, Ali.
Tell your producer, no.
I told you he was going to say that. Ali, thank you very much for a lot more talk on La Liga. Be sure to go over to our YouTube channel. Plenty of content for you to enjoy.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The German Cup dominates March 2nd and 3rd on ESPN 3. Gladbach against Borussia Dortmund. Leipzig take on Wolfsburg. It's Rot-Weiss Essen against Holstein Kiel. And Regensburg take on Werder Bremen. I like pretending I can speak German.
My God.
It's fun. You try it.
Derek Ray will be jealous.
I know. He won't be impressed with any of that.
That's
pronunciation.
It. Long live the Pokal. Right. That's what Del said.
Oh, there we go. Good. Well, it does live on ESPN 3.
I'm just saying what he said.
Stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig Burley with us here in the studio. Frank LeBeuf also with us. And Shaka Hislop as well. We'll start with you, Craig. Manchester City is on a spree in the Premier League, but do you think a lack of proper number nine will impact them in the Champions League?
No, I don't think so, because they probably, as much as any side in Europe with that manager, could probably cope with it better than most. Yeah. He deals with the false nine, if you want to call it that, better than almost any other coach. Maybe when Messi was in his pomp and Barca were flying, but currently, you would think you take Aguero out of the team in particular, not Jesus, but particularly Aguero, you think, whoa. But when you saw them at the weekend again, when they're getting goals from the middle of the park, mm-hmm. Gundogan, yep. Foden was, he was just magnificent. So if these players continue to play like that, that's not going to be a problem for them. That's not to say they're going to win it, but I don't think that will be the reason they don't win it.
Shaka, are we all forgetting just how good Jota was for Liverpool until he went down with injury? If he'd been healthy, would Liverpool have won some of the games they foolishly lost?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of question is that? No, we're not forgetting how good Jota was. But Liverpool have had a lot of very good players go down with injury. I mean, it's kind of unprecedented how bad the injury crisis has been. And no, nobody's forgotten that. It's part and parcel of the game.
It's a bit like you dressing up for this show today.
You can't talk about people dressing up with that beard.
That's unprecedented, because I saw you in the studio a couple of days ago and you were all suited and booted with your tie on.
How can Frank pull off the beard look so well? He looks quite elegant and handsome. You look, I think, homeless.
Two words that I would never say with Frank is elegant and handsome.
Definitely. Look at Frank. Pulls it off.
What's wrong with my look?
Look at it. It's just a mess.
Oh, well, that's it. It's stain, then.
What, to annoy me? That's all right.
That's a stain. This look is stain.
It's natural, you know. Yeah. No. You like, I don't know, somebody who just went out of a bar, you know, and drank too much. I don't know. Something's wrong with that.
Well, you're not too far from the truth.
Yeah, that's true, Frank. Frank, I saw on your Instagram, you posting what you're doing, doing some lifts in the gym. Why would you put that? Who cares about that?
Well, if you don't care, you know, some people are very interested to know, because, you know, in fact, gym are closed right now in France because of the COVID, except that place, because it's half outdoor. Right. And I wanted to have a message that hopefully soon, you know, people will be able to do so like I do, and I enjoy doing it. That's it.
Showing off your Instagram.
Can I just say? I didn't see any weights on the bar, Frank. It looked like just a bar to me.
Well, because you didn't look precisely. Saying. Because you have the blue things around. Because I'm sure you didn't look at it. Because I'm not sure if you have Instagram, by the way.
That little blue thing?
Yeah,
that,
you were just fixated on Frank's guns. That's all you could see.
No, do you know, that's what they do, though. That's what they do, though,
I've just seen...
I've not got Instagram either. I can't be bothered with it. Do you know, that's what they do, though, these foreign players.
I don't want to show you...
These foreign players that used to come into England, that's what they do. They do the sneaky side of it.
Oh, really?
The smoking and the drinking. We didn't quite have the subtleties.
How did you get onto smoking and drinking from doing bench presses?
Because I thought Shaka said there was a bar there.
No!
Or am I just...
The bar that he was bench
pressing. Oh, I thought you meant a bar. A bar, will it optics? Yeah. Optics where you just like, do a couple of weights.
Not that
and then
you've got a one-track mind or anything, Chris.
I know, that's
not,
great,
not
yeah.
That's the only kind of bar I know.
Shaka,
that's the only bar worthwhile, isn't it? A bar where you can get some beers.
Shaka, would Sergio Ramos be a good signing for Manchester United if he decides to leave Real Madrid?
Yeah, why not? I'll tell you what, hugely impressed with Cavani. I didn't think Cavani would be as good or as impactful as he has been. Sergio Ramos coming in at the end of the pitch could probably have a similar effect.
Sergio Ramos to Manchester United, Frank?
Never, nope. Never. I mean, Israel, stop dreaming. You know, Sergio Ramos will never come to Manchester United. With the way Manchester United plays and the standard that Manchester has right now, I'm very sorry. Manchester United, in 99, Sergio Ramos would have come. But Manchester United in 2021, never.
It's not just that, they're not. I don't think that's a road that United will go down, because they brought Cavani in because it was a sort of short-termism, because they needed a proper front man. I think given the transfer window in the summer, United are looking for somebody more along the Upamecano age, you know, right. That younger player. That's kind of where they've been going in most of their signings, so I wouldn't imagine they would deviate back into a guy in his, 32? 33? Well, give or take, doesn't really matter.
Craig, on yesterday's show, Don told a story about Graham Souness putting him on specifically to two-foot someone right in front of him so he could then have a fight with Gordon Strachan, who was the coach of Coventry.
This is quite complicated. Why didn't he just go and have the fight with him?
Well, because he needed some sort of propagation.
Well, this is the thing, and Don is so stupid. I mean, Don, do me a favour. Will you go to the edge of that cliff? There's somebody there. Will you jump off for me? Because, yeah.
Don's too busy handing money out to people in service stations.
So what did... And did Don do it?
So Don did it.
Well, of course Don did it.
And then...
Don's not... He's not...
To put this into context, someone is then asking, did any coach ask you to do something crazy like that on the pitch?
No.
No.
Because here's the deal. One, nobody asked me to do it, and two, I can think for myself.
Right, OK.
So...
But what did Don?
Don two-footed, he did it. He went on, did the big challenge, and then a big scuffle ensued, so Souness then could have a go at Strachan.
All right.
It seems a complicated way of you being able to have a go at Strachan rather than just saying, I'll see you in the manager's office at the end of the game.
Which football game made you cry? I will avoid Craig.
And today.
Today, watching the West Ham game. Frank, I think you told us before, innit? You rewatched the World Cup final and it made you cry?
Yeah, and semi-final, at the end of the game I cried. But I think the game who made me cry the most was 1982 when France played semi-final against Germany in Sevilla during the World Cup. And France lost in penalties, and I cried because Schumacher knocked Batista. It should have been a penalty. It was really awful game, and I was in Germany that night. I was kicked out of the family that was keeping me, and I slept outdoor. And I cried because I was 14, and it was such an injustice from me, done to my country. That I cried, yeah, and I was a young boy, yeah.
Wait, let's just back up, Frank. You were living with a family in Germany.
Yeah, and in fact, we were leading 3-1, and we were happy, and they weren't, so they kicked us out, you know.
I think he's more interested in the family.
Yeah, just
What were you doing with a family in Germany? I shall set up.
There is agreements between cities in France and cities in Germany. In fact, to exchange.
We did a French
exactly.
exchange.
Ah. And some unlucky person got you.
Yes, and I was with a friend of mine. I was in a family for like 15 days, and we were going to school during the day, and so, you know, exchange with German young boys. But we had that game, and after we were leading 3-1, and they thought it was over because it was during the extra time, and we, because we were so happy, they kicked us out, and we had to sleep outside, and. On top of it, we saw the end of the game and 3-3, and then the penalties, bye-bye, France. We were upset and sad, and so I cried.
Because that was I bet that family in Germany had never seen a bald 14-year-old before.
Never.
I tell you what, if I put the glasses on, does that take the glare away from my beard?
It just makes you look even older.
It's even worse. It's even worse.
Even older.
Shaka.
No, shaving.
What game made you cry?
I'm not shaving.
Well, I didn't physically cry, closest I've come to crying, Trinidad Tobago hosting the USA November 19th, 1989. We needed a draw to qualify for the 1990 World Cup, and we lost 1-0. I was a university student here in the States at the time. I didn't get kicked out, but... It hurt a lot.
Don't cry over a sport, do you?
Yes, I know. It's all right, don't worry. Hard man.
Right. What about rugby at the weekend? The Scotland beating England at a rugby.
Oh.
No crying, mind you.
Frank.
The beard's staying. Frank. Sodges all.
Frank.
Even if my boss phones me tonight and says, listen.
He knows better.
The higher ups have been on and said, you look a right scruffy sod. You need to shave it. It's not happening.
Our boss knows you better enough that he would ring you up and say, I like the beard, you should keep it. Save it up the side.
Opposite. Reverse clever, psychology. Clever.
Frank, can Lyon win the league?
Lyon.
Yes. Yeah, Lyon. Yes. Yes, it's possible. They have the team. They finally found the way to play all together. It was more individuals than anything else, and they really play well. But, that would be a miracle. I mean, it would be...
you just said they can. That can't
Yeah, it will be because of Lyon, but it will be more because of Paris not being the Paris that we saw lately.
Will you
Otherwise,
cry if
there
that
is
happens?
No comparison. Never.
What are you looking up on your phone?
See, I'm just looking at League One standings up.
Why? You're not involved in this question.
Why don't you? Lille top.
Is it Lille can win.
Yeah, this question's asking about Lyon.
When I'm asking about Lille.
What, do you want to know about Lille?
No.
Why are you even looking up? Okay, what are the guys' signature drink orders? I take Shaka for a daiquiri, Craig for a lager, Frank for a martini, and Dan for a margarita. Okay, let's break those down, shall we? Starting off with Shaka. Shaka, it's rum, surely.
Rum, yep, on the rocks.
Bourbon.
Nothing, a good rum.
Yep.
A good rum on the rocks, that's it.
And Frank, we're going red wine with you.
That would be a red wine, a kind of Bourgogne or Burgundy or Bordeaux. But normally when we have something special to celebrate, it's mostly champagne in France.
Oh, of course, where you're rich in all that Qatar money. What about a martini, Frank? Would you ever be prone to order a martini?
No, red martini. I like red martini on the rocks, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's nice.
There we go. Nice. Craig, lager?
Well, yeah.
It's something you've been transitioning off.
I've not been on my Peroni lager or anything.
No.
But I like wine, but I've not been drinking much of it recently. But I don't mind a red wine and a white wine, but I'm on seltzers at the moment.
Oh, lovely.
Because I'm training for training for a marathon.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, when will this marathon be?
I don't know. I'm just training for it.
I know, for the beard now. Oh, he wants to look like, what his name, with Tom Hanks. You know,
Forrest
the guy
Gump.
Who keeps on running.
Yeah. Yeah. Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. He wants to do like Forrest Gump. He's
so like you.
So he's I'm on. I've been on seltzers since the summer.
Good. It's really paying off.
It did, actually, for a while. I did lose a lot of weight, as you know, for a bit, but that wasn't intentional weight.
And I had some
other things that were on my mind, and I've tried to put it back on. Unfortunately, I've reversed the process a little bit too much.
The late-night pizzas. That'll do it.
Whatever you drink, you're a disgrace. Because you're out and near where we live, you're out and you're getting loud and obnoxious, even more so than when you're here.
Yeah.
And the barman comes up to me and says,
You have to leave
because the little man over there's got little man syndrome and he's getting loud and obnoxious and we're not serving him anymore.
There was the time when me, you and Macca were out as well. That was a different time.
Well, the time that you were out with me and Macca...
That's when Steve, you were drinking beer, and then I got a bit bloated, so I thought I'd move on to mojitos.
And you tried to keep up with me and Macca, and then you called me a very rude word across the bar in front of everybody.
I did, yeah.
Called me an extremely rude word.
We'll see. It's something to do with truth. Truth comes out. Anyway... finally, what did everyone think of the weekend's halftime performance? Frank, I guess you didn't stay up to watch the Super Bowl, a bit late.
It's too late. It started at midnight. The halftime show is around 1:32 a.m. It was too late for me, so yes. I didn't see it. I like the weekend. I like American football, but not too late for me.
Shaka?
I was not impressed. I've grown less impressed with the weekend over the years.
I think
some of his earlier stuff, fantastic.
Yeah.
What?
You hadn't heard of him? Yeah.
I hadn't heard of the individual, but I know the songs.
Well,
sometimes
done.
I do that, and I don't. Right. I can't put two and two.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think much of it. But I'm not. I'll be honest. I was too busy trying to order a pizza on Grubhub.
Oh really?
And it was. I was having problems.
What were the problems?
I left it quite late. At the particular place I was trying, the particular pizzeria was just about to close.
Right.
My order went through, and it never arrived.
Oh,
and I was extremely annoyed.
Well, it helps the diet though for the marathon.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be in training tonight for the marathon on myself.
Well, good.
I just haven't decided what to think.
We understand more why you're such in a bad mood every day we see you, you know, because if you don't eat, you don't drink anymore, you must be a little bit touchy right now.
What do you mean? It's 8 years he's been here and he's been touchy. He hasn't been on a diet for 8 years, has he? God.
I think you'll find my problem is, Frank, since the... The pandemic and the gym been closed at ESPN.
Ah, yes.
It's had a...
He hasn't been able to hang out at the bar at the gym.
It's had a very detrimental effect on my mental state.
That's it. Good. We are done. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. We will be back tomorrow. Me and you again here, Craig. What a wonderful moment.
We're talking about Klopp.
To that, I'm a heater.